Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We never cease to be amazed at the things God reveals to us in His Word. If you're not gaining revelatory insight to the Word, perhaps it's simply because, well, no other way to say it, you're not spending enough time there. Without a doubt, God wants us meeting Him in His place, the Word. As we were reading 1 Peter 1:13-15, the Lord gave us 7 steps for every believer to a righteous life.
It's all about living a righteous life.
It's about that.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Honey, read that one more time.
Wow, it gives you a lot to live up to.
And as she reads this, focus in on what it's saying.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Hallelujah. Okay. Here are the 7 steps from that, well, those 3 verses. Number 1, protect what you're reproducing in your imagination. The Greek word G1271 is translated as mind in verse 13. But it's often translated imagination in other scriptures. According to Strong's Concordance, gird means the practice of the Orientals, who in order to be unimpeded in their movements, were accustomed when starting a journey or engaging in any kind of work, to bind their long flowing garments closely around their body and fastening them with a leather belt.
In other words,
they girded their clothes to protect themselves while traveling.
Or unencumbered movement when they were working.
That's exactly right. Loins, well, that's an anatomical reference referring to reproductive ability. So really, verse 13 could be amplified to say, protect what you're reproducing in your imagination.
In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17, Jeremiah 3:17 says, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Interesting.
It is. An unrestrained thought is where compromise and sin begin. Both are hindrances to a righteous life. Number 2, being sober isn't the opposite of being drunk. If someone were to ask you if you were sober, well, you might be insulted, especially if you don't consume alcoholic beverages. In temporary America, the word sober has come to denote someone who is not intoxicated. If you say someone is sober at the moment, the implication would be that they're frequently drunk. Let's establish that scripturally speaking, being sober isn't the opposite of being drunk. According to Strong's Concordance, the word sober is defined as to be sober, to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, dispassionate, circumspect. The Greek word for sober appears in, well, 7 times in 6 verses, according to the Hebrew Concordance of the King James Bible.
One of those, times is found in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, which says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Interestingly enough, the Message Bible translation of 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up."
Keep a cool head. Wow. Stay alert.
Be sober.
That's
really
it.
What it's meaning.
Number three, grace is much more than what you say at a meal.
Think of that. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13 in the Classic Amplified Bible, "Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, divine favor, that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed."
Now, we all know that grace means divine favor when it refers to salvation. However, it means much more than this in many other places in the Bible. The original Greek word for grace is spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. C-H-A-R-I-S. And it's pronounced horis. Horis. The Greek Bible Dictionary defines grace as the divine influence upon the heart and the reflection in a person's life, including acceptability, benefits, favor, gifting, and pleasure. Or more simply said, grace, favor, anointings, and divine enablings. Wow. Notice what the Apostle Peter tells us when he says there's many forms of grace.
Many forms of grace. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment. As good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christ, to Christians, by unmerited favor," meaning grace. In Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, that's Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which was bestowed on me by the exercise, the working in all its effectiveness of his power. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people. This grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ."
Wow.
"Wealth which no human being could have searched out."
Wow. Now, I want to tell you, these verses ought to excite you about the possibilities of a righteous life and the favor and anointing that's available to you. Number four, obedience brings rewards. In the first part of 1 Peter 1:14 in the Classic Amplified Bible, we're instructed to live as children of obedience to God. Now, we could do a large number of teachings on the scriptural advisability of obedience, but we're just going to give you one scripture that makes our options pretty clear. In fact, it's a scripture that we quoted recently and we'll soon do a teaching on.
And we quote it often because it's so good. It's in Isaiah 1, verse 19. Isaiah 1:19 in the Living Bible. "If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich."
If we let him help us, that means it's our choice. If we will obey, our choice, then he will make us rich, his choice and promise to us.
Wow.
Number five, lust is a thought before it's ever an action.
That's right. The last part of 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in the former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel."
As I was looking over this scripture, a song, a phrase from a song, kind of popped into my remembrance. It says, "Just one look, that's all it took."
Matthew 5, verse 28. Matthew 5, 28 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The contemporary English version of Matthew 5, verse 28 says, "But I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts." Boy, it's just so important to grab those thoughts and take them captive so that we do not sin against God.
That's true, baby. A righteous life becomes a reality by looking to a more righteous future and not living in the past.
Amen.
Number 6, if you want to be like him, you must think like him.
The New Living Translation of 1 Peter 1, verse 15 says it this way, "But now you must be holy in everything you do."
A righteous life is a continual search for his presence and the revelation of his word. When we want his word more than anything else, then we're getting closer to a righteous life.
Paul wrote to young Timothy, saying this, "Give attendance to reading." This is in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13. "And study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And that's in 2 Timothy 2, 15.
"Hosea proclaimed, my people are destroyed, bound by a lack of knowledge." That's Hosea 4, 6. It's interesting that Hosea did not say that Satan would destroy his people, you, me, us. He stated that ignorance would destroy us. Satan just helps us enjoy staying ignorant.
And that's so true.
Ignorance of the word is one of the greatest hindrances to a righteous life. We must think like he thinks. Therefore, we must know what he thinks.
Number 7, watch what you say. Watch what you say. One scripture, boy, it makes the point very clear. It's Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it."
Now that we know the 7 steps to a righteous life, we don't have an excuse to not pursue it and live it. So we strongly recommend that you meditate today on 1 Peter 1, verses 13. 50.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to heraldhearing.com if you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says, "Sow a seed." Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video while you're there. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.